Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Patriot Family Chat. I'm your co-host, Linda, coming at you from Oceanside, California. Bill will be on the line in a second. As our host from Indiana, it is 65 degrees, sunny, clear, and gorgeous in the land of libtards. We are brought to us by patriotfamilies.com. That's families with a Y-S, www.patriotfamilies.com. You got to get over there, folks. Thanks to Bill for signing in and Rod. Hopefully others will join us. And I do believe I have Bill on, and I did call Hollis, and I left him a message, haven't heard anything, but we want to get this reunion together for July, so I'm going to welcome Bill. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good, Linda. How are you?
So far, so good. Had a couple sips of wine. We drink on my shows.
Well, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. You got to have some type of way of relaxing yourself after you've been dealing with this crap all day.
Oh, my God. I know. I put in the chat room. It was so funny because both Pat, Stu, and Glenn were talking on their radio shows. I mean, this guy's probably got 18 to 20 million listeners, right? Okay. So he's on national airwaves all over the country, syndicated. And they were talking about the speech. And I wanted to give Rod a laugh because all three of them said that they were not going to watch the speech. They were going to clinics to get colonoscopies instead. It was hysterical. I was laughing so hard. If I didn't have Glenn's levity, I think I'd just, I don't know. I don't know what I would do.
Oh, it's not just Glenn. There's several people out there. If we didn't have their levity, I don't know what the reaction would be.
Oh, my God.
Because, you know, like I say, we fight constantly, day and night, day and night.
Yep.
We're fighting this battle, and at some point you got to have that moment to catch your breath, that moment to relax for a second to before you jump back into the battle.
Yeah. I don't know what Rod's talking about. Are you talking about the wine, Rod? I don't know, but probably. Yola loves beer, and we're trying to get this thing together, but I haven't heard from Hollis. I don't know what's going on in his life because he's kind of AOL lately, but that's okay. Basically, what really took me by surprise, and it was very cool, I think there was an audio for about 10 minutes on a different radio show. Ted Nugent talked to Glenn for a few minutes, and he talked for 10 minutes to this other person on another station, and I don't remember the gentleman's name, but apparently he's got a lot of listeners, and Ted will be down front and center. He was invited by one of the conservative representatives in the House of Reps, and the fight between good and evil. It started in the Garden of Eden. It hasn't stopped yet. We know that. So, basically, Ted is going to be interviewed by the media after this horrendous evil speech, which we all know what to expect. I could write it right now. What should be said will not be said, you know, by a normal person. But I'll tell you, the interview that Rand Paul's going to do, Marco Rubio, I think, is a rhino. I don't like what he's talking about with amnesty.
Marco Rubio is an establishment Republican, GOP.
Yes.
He is a Karl Rove, a Mitt Romney. He is not what we need.
He's an Eric Cantor and a Paul Ryan, because all those clowns, the only thing I can say about Lindsey Graham Cracker lately is he does not want Chuck Hagel, and he's pushing against him. That's the only thing I'm happy about that.
Well, I agree with him on that. I don't want Chuck Hagel.
Oh,
I
my
see
God.
Him as a Muslim.
Yeah, he is. Oh, yeah. He's already been outed. I mean, it's all over The Blaze. It was all over Glenn's show. It's all over all the conservative blogs, every newspaper.
But where it's not is in the MSM.
Well, what do you expect? Did you hear?
Somehow we've got to come up with a way to deal with the MSM.
Well,
we've got to be able to push something, because when they go out here and all they spread is propaganda and lies to protect the corrupt, it's just beyond.
Well, here's the thing. Rand Paul is also going to be interviewed. Now, Ted Nugent and Rand Paul, I would pay money to see those, I mean, which I don't have to, because they'll be all over the place, and all the clips will be out there. They'll be on YouTube. They'll be everywhere. So we'll have everything for my show tomorrow, and I'm going to try to get a couple clips. Michael Magic has been kind enough to help me, because he can convert these videos into MP3 and get them on Blog Talk Radio for us. So those are wonderful things. There's so much. I'm going to try to get – did you see the video I sent you on the veteran who was talking about the Second Amendment rights?
Yeah.
Yeah, that one I'm going to – I'd love to get that downloaded. That's amazing. It's only 3 minutes long. It was phenomenal.
There are so many out there that are putting out such good things and asking the right kinds of questions and stuff.
Absolutely. Oh.
And what we will never hear, we will never hear the progressive – part come out and tell us what do they think protecting yourself against a tyrannical government means.
No, they don't talk about it. No, they won't. But Ted Nugent.
Well, they totally ignore that. That was just the basis of the Second Amendment. They totally ignore it.
Ignore it, yeah, because it's not part of their agenda, and they have to squash the truth, and they have to squash history, and they have to erase history. Now, the part of the interview that I heard today on the internet with Ted Nugent was, and I saw about 3 or 4 days ago when he was just dancing on the head of Piers Morgan. He did a great job, because Piers is an idiot. He probably has 5 listeners, you know, or viewers on his show, whatever. I think it's CNN at nighttime. It's ridiculous, you know, and it's unbelievable what's going on in this country. You're not going to do anything about the MSM. They're going to destroy themselves. Glenn Beck has been working feverishly for the past 2 to 3 years to make sure that his Mercury One and all of his stuff on The Blaze and everything else that's going on, all of his movements, what's going on. He's going to have a July thing in Utah, Salt Lake City this summer. We're going to probably be in Delaney, because I don't think we're going to get any place else. I believe I have Robert, and I did send Robert an email. Hi, Robert. How are you?
I'm hanging in there. How are you doing?
Fine. Did you get my email?
I haven't even checked my emails today, Miss Linda. I'm guilty as charged.
Okay, here's the deal. You got cut off because you dropped off and Ron lost his Skype thing and I stayed on the line. Anyway, what I was going to tell you yesterday, do you have gun places where they have indoor shooting ranges where you live?
No, that's the whole point. This guy, Linda, guy was so... He was just so...
I know.
I mean, I could never have anybody in my lifetime.
You have a phone book. You've got to have a shooting range in Sarasota.
I want to go visit Frank. He'll tell me.
Why don't you... I'm serious. Look in the phone book for a shooting range and ask them for their instructors. They've got them there.
I know, but you don't think this guy is going to ruin my reputation by
As long as you don't call him back, Robert. Just go to the next person. But I want to bring Bill back in, because he's got a lot of stuff to rant on today. And
you know, Robert.
Yes, sir.
You have the internet. You can report this guy. You can put it on there, and you can how you were treated and everything there. That's the way to fight back. It's because we don't fight back that they keep doing the things to us they do.
Right, and also, like I said, you can Google, just make sure that you put your city or your zip code or something when you go to Google, and you say indoor shooting range, Sarasota, Florida, or whatever, and they will pop up all over the place. And then then you go, I would walk in person without any arms, without any bullets, without anything, and ask them the question, do you have instructors? Do you have a card of an instructor? Do you? They'll have them. If they've got them in Linhart, CA, they've got to have them there.
You know, Linda, you know, it's just got, this guy wanted to charge me to use his arms, to use his bullets, the minimum to get a license, concealed weapon license, is 280. It costs up $250. That's a lot of money.
I know. What you did,
time to leave Florida.
Yeah. Listen to me. What you didn't hear Ron telling us after you hung up and everything was, because I had mentioned, I said, I wish I could have kept you on the line because we could have told you some alternatives. Now, in the state of Georgia, there are sheriff's departments and different agencies of these people, of the law enforcement, who have free instruction and gun safety classes. So why don't you look into those options? That's where I would go.
What I'm going to do is most likely talk to the police department, let them train me.
There you go. That works. There you go.
Absolutely.
Here, Robert, we do it a little different in Indiana. First, if you was here and you wanted to buy a gun, the first place we would go is yard sales. We're looking for a good buy on a gun.
Yep.
So we go to a yard sale. We buy a hunting gun. We don't register it. We go over to my property, my cousin's property, anybody's property out here has property in the country.
Uh-huh.
You go there, you set up a target, practice. That's how you do it.
That's right. You get trained. Yeah, we can't do that here in California. I agree. And there will come a time, Bill, when you'll see me towing a giant van line with my goodies, buying property in Freetown.
I thought for sure you'd be up in Big Bear and just hunting this guy down for the $1 million.
No.
I don't know the whole truth behind the whole story.
Oh, you mean the guy in Big Bear?
Yeah.
Okay.
I only know what the media is putting out there, and I got to be honest with you. I have no reason to trust the media on anything.
Absolutely. No, I don't either. And here's the thing. Okay, it's been on the news all day. I don't know. The sun's still shining. What the hell they're waiting for is beyond my comprehension. Are they waiting for dark so he can escape? I mean, I don't understand these people. I don't know.
Well, Linda, I about guarantee you, if it hits dark, they'll have night vision. He probably does too.
Yep.
You know.
I don't know.
California to us is so foreign and so backwards.
And
common sense is a superpower in California, and all the progressives there lack it.
Oh, yeah. Here's the problem. I agree with you. I grew up here since I'm 5 years old. I could write volumes on the changes I've seen in this state, because we used to have freedom. We used to have fireworks and sparklers on 4th of July. We used to be able to ride around without seatbelts. We used to have freedom in this state. No more. It took them. Hey, Doc, welcome to the show. It took them 45 years to do this, because that's when 1972 was when the influx was coming across this border, and nobody stopped it. The sanctuary cities, the progressives got in. Look what they did to the Central Valley. They've turned it into a desert. The EPA, all of these people. We've got libtards everywhere. We've got a supermajority of Democrats up there with Moonbeam Il Duce Brown just destroying this place. And we got Gavin Newsom on Hannity last night. I was ready to just jump through the TV. But whatever Hannity said to him, and I can't remember exact words, he laid into him, and the guy had this look on his face like he'd never been talked like to that before. And that's the problem. Nobody.
Well, I got news for him. Competing with Texas when you're so, oh, my
God.
What?
They're delusional. They're delusional.
It is delusional. You're losing your butt, dude. You're losing your butt.
I just
had a visitor from California here. Oh, last week, and I'm praying he has a safe trip back. But we sat down and we talked a lot about, and he's from Northern California, up in the mountain area, mm-hmm. and we talked a lot about the whole situation there and how California, like Indiana, is two different states.
Oh, my God. It's like two different countries. Well,
yeah.
Which it should be. And, you know, that was the original Constitution. It used to be these United States are, and a state meaning a sovereign country of its own. And we created that freaking federal government, not the other way around, and everybody has lost sight of it, and I am about ready to explode, but I must remember.
Everybody has come up with this ideology, including Jamie Foxx and Chris Rock and others,
that my God.
We work for the government. No, we don't. We are their boss. They work for us.
And it's
Obama,
about...
We don't work for Obama. He's not our master. We are his master.
You got it. Oh,
and
I know.
It has nothing to do with race. It has to do with his position of authority in our country is only the authority that we allow him.
Exactly. And that's what the problem is, because we have been compliant too long, and we have allowed this, and we have complied.
Well,
and
that's because of indoctrination in our school system. You're going to hear Obama talk about that tonight. And it's going to be pour more money into an education system that keeps failing. It doesn't get any better. Why? Because you're not trying to educate. You, Barack Obama, and all your supposed educators are a bunch of liars. What you are is indoctrinators.
Yes,
you
propaganda.
You want to feed our kids full of socialist filth and then turn them against us. We're lies to you.
Yep. Here's the thing. That, you know, when you talk about the media, in fact, I saw a blurb today on the internet, stupid box of rocks Biden, I can't stand him. Hey, yo, welcome to the show. So glad to see you here. Box of Rocks was talking about a legitimate media. Oh, my God. If that isn't Hitler all over again, I don't know what to call it. Because every single time, I'm telling you, Bill, as sure as I'm sitting here, Lenin, Stalin, Hitler, Mao, Hugo, Castro, Pol Pot, every single one of them, the first, before they took over the means of production, before they did the gun grabs, before they did the healthcare nationalization, before they did all of it, they got the media. Whose ideas do you think were sitting on the desk at the end of World War II, on Goebbels' desk, with the manifesto of how to take over the media and be a propagandist? It was from Bernays in this country. That's where they got it from. Isn't that special? In fact, our eugenicists were also inspirational to the people in Europe, and it was back and forth. I mean, it was George Bernard Shaw, it was Freud, it was Darwin, it was Margaret Sanger, it was all of them. They were all, you know, interchangeable, because all the crap that we fought against in the Revolutionary War got thrown back in our faces, and these idiots kept, you know, soliciting it. It's disgusting. Hey, Dean, welcome.
One of the major things that people don't pay attention to is the ideology of destruction of this nation.
Yep.
I've been on this for several years now, Linda. I know you've heard me say it time and time again. I named three things that are the basis for their destruction of this country. One is you destroy our culture. You do that by allowing 20 million foreign invaders, then you allow them to bring 50 million family members with extended
and the UN
family, you know. Yeah.
Yep.
And then you allow all the Islam in here who does not assimilate either, and starting the destruction. You start economic destruction. You start pushing all these things. You destroy our culture. You destroy our economy.
Our
ability
George
to
Soros.
Defend ourselves.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Every one of those things, from the destruction of our ability to defend our nation and our people, from our economy and through our culture, they are achieving every one.
Oh, yeah.
Now,
they're kicking them off.
On the amnesty, I am not against people immigrating to this country, but we have a lawful way to do so. We accept more immigrants than any other nation on the planet. Nations that encourage their people to come and break our laws, look at their laws. And I'm talking about Mexico.
Oh, I know. It's huge.
You look at their immigration laws, and you look at how they enforce it. Yet they, hypocrites that they are, and self-greedy leadership in Mexico that they are, encourage their people to break our law as long as they send billions of dollars home.
Back.
What are they doing to stop the drug traffic that crossed our border? They're really not doing that much. Half of their people in their government are involved in it.
Well, look, if you go to North Korea or if you go to Japan, they have some of the most strict, hugely strict laws in the world about immigration. I've been in Japan. I know. These people are a closed club. They do not like immigration there. They want to keep those little black-haired, brown-eyed, short people.
Japan is a totally different concept than we are here. And like I said, it's not that we're against immigration. We're not. We're against the illegal invasion and our government catering to them time after time. We're sick of it. You're talking about our economic situation. We have 20 million illegals working. We have 27 million natural American citizens not working. And you're going to bring another 50 million family reunification.
This is the point.
On top of the 20 million that you're already going to give work to.
You know,
as true as you're sitting there, you're not going to create 50 million more jobs on top of the 20 million.
And then you're going to
create 70 million jobs out of thin air for these people. You're either going to knock Americans out of work or you're going to add these illegals to the entitlement programs.
Exactly.
We are broke.
No one
sitting in Washington, D.C. seems to understand this plain and simple fact. We are broke. This country failed its people when it became $1 million of debt. We didn't do anything. When it became $1 billion of debt, we didn't do anything.
Right.
And now it's a trillion. When it became a trillion, we damn sure should have been throwing the pit then and backing off of the spending, but we didn't do it. And now we're at $16.5 trillion. Truthfully, we're at $26 trillion because they don't tell you how much they've already kicked down the road. It's probably higher than that. But I'm safe in saying that by 2016, you're going to have a $26 trillion deficit or higher. I'm safe in saying that. Look at the debt clock. Fast forward to 2016.
Oh, yeah. No, here's the thing. We've got – they lie about the numbers. There's at least 22 million illegals, in this country, foreign invaders.
I never said the 11 million they keep trying to shove down your throat.
Absolutely.
We've heard this. We've seen this kind of action too many times before where you give us a number and the number turns out to be twice the number you gave us.
Yeah, like all their projections and all their monetary nonsense. I know, it's horrible.
You answer me this, Linda. We know the corruption in Mexico and their government and stuff. We know the corruption in several of these other South American countries.
Yeah.
What are we doing there to help their people achieve freedom, liberty, and an opportunity?
Well,
what are we doing to help them in their countries?
You know,
we're not doing a damn thing because our country is our elected and our big business is too busy trying to take advantage of these people.
Well, here's the thing. I don't think we can do it in a national level, and I don't think we should. But if we did the right thing, Bill, and we stopped the border invasion and we stopped the free flow of welfare to these people and stopped the anchor baby nonsense and the rest of it and closed the jobs and closed the banks and closed the WIC and closed the food stamps to these people and did not encourage them to be here, they would deport, self-deport, and they would go back and maybe they would get a clue because they've seen what can be with the quasi.
I believe a lot of them have a clue, but they don't have an opportunity in their countries to be successful. They don't have an opportunity to feed and take care of their families.
Because they're already in a totalitarian, iron-fisted piece of crap. They can't. How are they going to do it? The only ones who have guns is the government, the police, and the drug cartels. You know they've disarmed those people, those poor, poverty-stricken migrant workers and people who schlep across the border because they're starving to death. The problem is we had laws in this country – back in the day when this country was founded, and nobody has adhered to them for so long, it's making me crazy. I mean, let's
well, it's just like the immigration. We have laws, but not once, not freaking once, has our government attempted to enforce those laws.
No,
they keep
they won't.
Looking for ways around enforcing. It is because someone on the right is making money off of using the cheap labor, or someone on the left is using them for whatever other nefarious reasons.
The reason is these idiots, these idiot GOP Whigs, the evil demon cats, Marxist, I call them, because that's what they are. They're commies. They're all in it for the same thing: votes to have perpetual power, to be lifetime, you know, quote, leaders or oligarch in this country. I've said this before, Bill, and I got to say it again. If I could resurrect Thomas Jefferson, I need a boatload of smelling salts to get him up out of his faint, because he would blow his mind, and then he would have to get a musket and go arrest these SOBs. He would not believe this. That's why I play that music of the Alice in Wonderland rabbit hole upside down world we live in. This is ridiculous. It never was meant to be this way, ever. And I'm telling you.
It goes, Linda, to... Okay, we welcome so many different people here, and we try to accumulate to all of them. And in doing so, what we are doing is we are losing who we are, who we were. We are losing why we came to this country. We are losing the whole thing here. And I hear all kinds of people. I even heard a lady yesterday saying, well, when it comes to immigration and blah, blah, and she made a reference to the white people being here. What did you people do with your civilizations before we got here?
Yeah, okay, exactly. No, look, like Ron was saying, this is the idea of America was an idea, and I do believe it was divinely inspired. Rod Luke was so gracious to send me a book, and I read it and sent it on. My mother read it too, sent it on to Yola, America's Providential History, that he had a plan for his divine intervention in having this beautiful natural resource place to establish this type of a constitution. And I'm telling you, if I say nothing before the day I die, this is the truth. When George Washington crossed that Delaware and everything that was going on, if God wasn't protecting him like he helped Moses with the parting of the Red Sea, I'm the Queen of Narnia. I'm telling you, he was there every step of that 8-year Revolutionary War. He wanted to have freedom, a beacon on the hill from the Bible. I'm telling you, if we could just get back to it and get the message out there. I do it every day, Bill. You know I do.
Well, what you got is you've got people who, rather than admit, hey, I'm not perfect, I'm simple, they would rather, well, let's destroy the religion. That way there's no one to say that I'm simple.
Oh, God. You know,
that's basically what you've got. And a nation that was founded the way it was is being destroyed. You're watching our elected cater to Islam. At the same time, they're kicking Christians in the teeth. You're watching the our nation turn total opposite of what it's been for the last 200 and some years.
Right.
We are being led like blind fools
to slaughter.
To the gallows, mm-hmm. to the slaughter. That's right. And we're not waking up. Here we are tonight on the eve of Obama giving this speech, and what we're going to hear, and everybody sitting here knows that we're going to hear the same stuff. You got to spend money on education.
Marxist garbage.
There'll be money that needs to be spent that's going to be going to union and supporters and all this and that. It won't be, you know how that works with Obama. It's how it's worked the entire time he's been in office. Nobody has filtered more money from the elected.
Oh, I know.
From the elected body of the nation. Nobody has filtered more money from the taxpayers to their supporters blatantly than Obama.
Then we got Hegel. And we've got – he's a Muslim Brotherhood sympathizer or a member. And
where's these trillions of dollars that are missing from the Treasury?
Well, there's probably, yeah, billions and billions. They just print it. They lie. They play the Ponzi scheme. They launder it. They fund Syria. We are, okay, I saw, I think it was Jerome Corsi had the whole thing, and on Mike from the Hot Seat, he played almost the whole tape. It's an hour long. And Jerome Corsi was telling, I think it was, God, it was Alex Jones, and it was absolutely an amazing interview. I think I sent it out to everybody that I could. This is, we are the drug cartel. We are the amnesty crazies. We are Agenda 21, and we are Al-Qaeda, because we, as the taxpayers, with our oligarchy, and that's all I can call it, are funding everything. And those idiots...
We are funding our enemies. I've said that so many times.
Yep.
They use our money to fight us. And right here in Indiana, right here in my little town of Brasstown, we have that going on right now, where our city board of elected wants to raise taxes to add to our school system. And the truth is, there's no reason to raise the taxes on the people. And if we were to follow the money to Roger Bain and Carl Shake and the other members of the Brasstown City Council, we would find that out, that this is a payout to their cronies. But what they did is they took taxpayer money, county money, and they used it to print out these little petition things to set out, trying to get people to sign a yellow petition, which means you're for property tax increases. And there was the same time a petition going around, a blue one, to sign if you're against raising the property taxes.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, the ones who are doing the signs against it, that's coming out of their pockets and stuff. The ones who are doing the signs for it are using the taxpayer monies to print out the paperwork for it.
I know. The waste, fraud, and abuse in this country for at least 120 years has been just abominable. Look, I've said this before, and I know Ron touched on it a little bit yesterday, where he has talked about the founding of the nation and this idea of America that never got fully realized, because from its inception of the Constitution not even having the ink dried on it, they have been trying to subvert it. And what's the problem is the people from within were not angels, as you know, and they started in. Even with George Washington, there was a whole thing, and it's in the congressional record, of him going to the Senate. This was prior, of course, way prior to the 17th Amendment, and he wooed them because he was such a figure that they almost wanted to make him a king back in those days. And he said no, but he did the next best thing. And he wanted to – got them to sign on to that the sovereign states would be encompassed with the power of congressional powers, not limited to that 10 square mile radius of Washington, D.C., and that was one of the beginnings of the breakdown. And then you go forward to Lincoln, who did the Libra Code, and then you go, you know, with him declaring war on the sovereignty of the states, which I don't think he had any right to do. That was an act of treason, as far as I'm concerned. Huge. And for that, I would love to dig him up and put him back in the Ford Theater and shoot him all over again. So that's my take on it. And it's been downhill ever since. We have not had free market capitalism since that day. I'm telling you, it's the truth. And everybody who's read history, I'm sure Judge Napolitano, David Barton, and Glenn Beck would agree with me.
Well, I agree with you, Linda.
I mean, this is BS, and I'm sick of it. And it's time to go back.
We have been putting up with it for so long, from our elected. And it comes down to they are no different than anyone else. They have
They're
the
people.
Same greed, the greed for power, the greed for money still leads these people. They are not. They don't have the intelligence or the intellect to look into their future and see what that holds for them. Because, well, it's like today, all these people who think, oh, well, I'm going to be one of the ones that they elected and this and that.
Yeah, right.
You obviously can't do math, or you would know that the numbers won't add up for you.
Right. Absolutely. Well, tell that to the brown shirts in the Night of the Long Knives.
Well, I try explaining that to as many as I can around the globe. But this is a global deal.
Yes,
and when you start looking at the globe and you're shrinking the population to a billion or less around the globe, you don't, I don't think people get a concept of the 6 billion they will have to eliminate first to get to that number. And that's just, you know, if you don't wake up to the realization of the threat to your life from that, well, then there's probably no hope for you waking you up. You might as well just commit suicide. Because that's what you're doing in the long run anyways.
Yeah. I was just telling Rod that back in the day when the Sons of Liberty and George Washington, Lafayette, and the rest of them were going...
It was 3%.
Yeah, it was way less than 10%, and they did it. And that's because they had God on their side, and that's where we need to go.
The whole gun battle debate and everything is they try to shrink the amount of people to make you to work that have guns. And the fact is they only have an idea, truthfully.
Yeah, I know.
Of the people who have a registered gun. And having breakfast this morning with about 5 or 6 other guys, and I asked around them, I said, how many of you know somebody who owns a gun, an unregistered gun, whether it's a hunting gun or whatever, but owns a gun that's not registered?
Right.
And every one of us knew somebody. But what was really interesting was when we all thought about it and we all started laughing, and because as one guy said, he knew more guys who had a gun unregistered than had a gun registered.
Yeah.
And he's like, the only time they're going to register is if they go hunting. But there's people who have had a gun handed down to them from a family member,
yes,
or have bought a gun off of somebody who was struggling, needed some cash, or at a yard sale, seen a gun and bought a gun, you know. And when you look at it and you really want to put the numbers together, they can say 100 million people own guns, and the truth would be probably 170 million own guns.
Oh, my God. You know, we said it on Ron's show yesterday that, you know, we've got, what, 305 million guns in the hands of 120 million people, and we've talked about the demographics, and I would bet that 98% of those gun owners are conservatives, Bible-thumping lovers of freedom.
Well, they're going to be.
Yep.
And that they're in, too. I disagree with the ideology that, the American people can't fight back. Because it won't just be us. Probably a good percentage of your military will outfire on the American people.
Yeah, well,
therefore,
here's the thing.
Therefore, they're going to turn and join the American people against the tyranny.
Now, we're not organized, and I'm kind of thinking maybe it's not a good thing to be organized because, and as Ron said, we will be every man for ourselves. But as Glenn says, and Ron agrees, and I agree, that if we talk to our neighbors in our community and we get organized just amongst ourselves, if there's gangs, if there's troops, if there's whatever,
call them militias.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And there's several of them here in San Diego, believe it or not. I'm ready to go call them up and say, hey, can I get trained better? You know, teach me.
That's like here where I'm at. If it was to start, Linda, probably 70% of the population is armed. And that 70%, maybe 1% of it, 2% of it might be liberal. The rest of it is conservative, and that's the kind of odds you're against. Hit and miss with the kind of the way the American public is and stuff is, I mean.
Well,
they got weapons. But the problem they have is they don't have as many people to operate them weapons as we do.
Exactly. I mean, you have to remember that all that takes into account the illegal, the illegal guns and the gangsters and the crazy people and the criminals.
Let me ask you this, Linda. Have you ever seen where the criminal element supported the right element?
Which I'm saying, say again?
Well, who is in power?
the freaks are now.
All right.
The oligarchy.
If a war starts, the criminal element will probably support those that are taking out the government element.
That's true. Yeah. Well, the anarchists and the owls.
That's just how that works.
Yeah. yeah, you're right. You know, in history, absolutely. And you know, I don't look forward to any of this stuff. I just know that I have my food storage, water storage, ammo.
We've got the American Caligula sitting in our White House.
Got it. Yep.
He thinks he's a god and should be worshipped. He thinks he's above the law. He's above everyone else. And everyone should be bowing down to him.
Yeah, he's an evil schwatzer.
He's a putz.
I know. Well,
I would love
Jewish words at the same time.
What? Say again, Robert.
Two Jewish words at the same time: putz and schwatzer.
Well,
yeah. Yeah, exactly. I got a friend in Detroit who says the N word quite readily.
You know, it's sad. Because there are men out there that should be respected. How many of you heard that doctor's speech?
I loved it. It was fabulous.
It was amazing.
Oh, my God.
It was amazing.
Right in front of the miserable schmuck.
Oh, and the left has attacked him and attacked him and attacked him over it. See, that's the thing. They want to put Obama up there to where he cannot be criticized on anything.
Oh, you know what? Too bad.
Name me another president. Name me another president,
yep.
Single president, who you weren't allowed to criticize.
Oh, yeah. Oh, please. Well,
we've criticized the Bushes.
Oh, my God. And,
George Bush. I fought against Karl Rove. I fought against Lindsey Graham. John McCain and others, when they were trying to force another amnesty down our throats for the last 8 to 10 years.
Yeah. So here's the deal. How many times in 4 years of the first 4 years that President Pantload blamed Bush for the economic BS that's going on? Oh my God.
That will continue. He'll continue to blame the Republicans. Everything is the Republicans' fault.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't matter
yeah.
that he doesn't take any action. It doesn't matter that he doesn't do any logistics.
There's no responsibility.
Or balancing of anything.
Yep. There's no responsibility.
He has an agenda.
Look, even the Benghazi gate, look at what's going on with that. I hope that brings him down. I swear to God, what he did for 8 hours or 7 hours is just reprehensible. I've read history, Bill. I've seen things done by Stalin that would curl your hair, but what he did and went to bed and got to Vegas, at the very least.
Well,
somebody should just take him out and slap the hell out of him.
How many different stories have we had now out of his administration over this? How many different stories?
Oh, yeah. Well, it's all coming
all him and Hillary are doing is trying to cover her butts. Hillary is trying to set her giant glutamus maximus up to be president. to me, it was sad that our first black president was an Arab named Obama.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And that the first probable choice that women will have as a woman's president is going to be Hillary Clinton. And Hillary is the epitome of anti-womanism.
Oh, my God. And she's ugly. I think it was 2 or 3 years ago.
It doesn't matter what she looks like. What matters is you're put in here to do a job for our people.
I know.
And you only do a job for yourself and those who would support you to be divine leader.
Which brings me to the other masculine, ugly women, people like Elena Kagan and Janet Incompetano. Oh, Yves. Oh, my God. Oy.
Well,
and Janet Reno.
The jury's still out on them being women.
Maybe they're transgender freaks like Obama. Oh, who knows?
How much money are we putting out every day for Homeland Security and for what?
Oh, so they can take us down?
$200 and some million a day, and what are you doing with it? Because you're damn sure not protecting us.
No, oh no. This is why what Ron said, and I'm telling you, this was 230 years ago, maybe longer, that probably about the time of the Revolutionary War, before the Revolutionary War, when he said, who do you think those armies and bullets are for? They're for us. Yeah, you betcha they are, Bill. You know what they're doing. You know damn well
what they're doing. Why do you think they're buying up so much ammo?
Oh, my God.
And I'll point ammo at that.
Yeah, and the 7,000 AR-15 rifles they've ordered, and 21 billion more rounds, and the manufacturers can't keep up. You try to go find ammo right now. I've been waiting over 30 days for my ammo.
Well, you're going to see that because they're going to, and you live in the crappiest place of all, because they're going to try taxing ammo. They're going to try taxing you for having a gun. They're going to try making you buy insurance.
Insurance, I know.
It'll end up being so high it'll force you out of owning a gun. These are the ways they are going after disarming the American public.
They have a reason
they have to disarm you. One, to totally take us over and control us and enslave us, they would have to disarm us.
Yep.
The second thing is, in order to fulfill their obligations to China for natural resources and land that they have sold to China, they have to disarm us first so China can come take possession of those resources and land.
Of course. Yeah, I sent that to you guys about a week and a half ago. I mean, I've sent all this DHS stuff to everybody I can get my hands on all through California, to you guys, Patriot Families, Ron, Rod, everybody that I could think of. It's very, very disturbing. We know what they're doing. You know, as much as Alex Jones sometimes goes off the rails, I think he's got points on many things. He knows. He's been studying Monsanto, Agenda 21, the FEMA camps, all the rest of it, the drones, the gun grabbing. The guy, he knows. I mean, there was a guy.
How can the public not see it?
Because they don't want to. I've come to the conclusion that Michael Savage was correct. Liberalism is a mental disorder. That was one of his first political books. Oh my God, these people! It drives me nuts. I had emails back and forth with this idiot about it.
I have to repeat my little saying from the Boondock Saints movie again. We must all fear the evil of bad men. That is true, but we must fear even more the indifference of good men. And that's what we're facing, people. Indifference of good men. Indifference of good women.
I know. I'm surrounded
by
them here.
You know what's going to happen?
I'm surrounded
by them. If we don't stop them and they get their way, everybody's going to be turning around then and screaming, well, what the hell happened? What was going on? When did all this? And it's going to be because you had your head buried in the sand, because you couldn't afford to waste your time to be concerned with what was going on in your nation.
Okay, Doc's telling me about the stuff that my mom's watching on TV on the chat room. 906, is that you, Mr. Magic?
Yes, ma'am.
Hello, darling. We were talking about all these things, and we want your take on it, and they're updating us on Big Bear. I think they're closing on this guy, so... It's on fire. I see. I'm in the other room, so I can't see my TV. So I don't know.
Well, it is on fire.
Oh my God! So
smoking.
What is
on fire?
Oh, it's in Big Bear.
The cabin
where
the guy is supposedly at the cop shooter.
Oh, okay.
Michael, what else do you have to say? Go ahead.
Could I venture here, Michael, and just to get this is my point of view of what's happened here is in our nation and everything about our nation, our problem is we've turned from God.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Oh, my gosh. I mean, Michael, I got to tell you some stories, but tomorrow I'm reading from Proverbs, and I haven't listened to all the tapes, but I was thanking you so much for sending Jeremiah's tapes to me, because they have inspired me, filled me with the Spirit, and I know where my strength comes from. I pray to him every night. I praise him, and I go, if we do not talk about him and praise him every day, we are totally screwed. And I know the founders believed in him and believed on him even in their last days. So this is our answer. This was providential history. I'm telling you, when Washington crossed the Delaware, he had the same protection of God that Moses had in the parting of the Red Sea, and I'll rest my case on that. I swear to you. What do you say, Michael?
Well, you know, I don't have a problem with guns, you know, as much as many people think that I do, you know, and just because I don't own one, you know, that may be making a statement, but that is a that is my Christian
choice.
That is my Christian
right. That's your personal choice.
That's my Christian right not to own a gun and shed blood. That is my Christian right. Okay, but as far as the gun thing goes here now, I just want to just touch base here with something, give you something to think about. You know, it's like, Linda, you know, and these are speculative numbers, okay? Let's say Linda's got, you know, $1,000 worth of ammo, or $2,000, or $10,000. Let's say Bill's got $5,000 or $10,000, okay? How much more does our government had? Now, on top of that, you add in the fact that we have open borders, okay?
I know.
We have people from all different companies, countries, I'm sorry, China. I mean, it's crazy. And these people are not afraid to kill Americans.
Okay. Well,
when the time comes, the government will call on these people.
Oh, I know. Well,
to kill
they're going to have one hell of a fight on their hands. But this is another point.
First off,
look,
we're not relegated to just guns as defense. That's such a farce and such a blown out of proportion thing. I could sit here and start listing things, and it would take me hours to get done. Listing things around people's homes and in their garages and stuff that they have that they can use as protection.
Absolutely. I got one aerosol hairspray and a lighter.
And yesterday, when the comments that was made, well, I got some news. The United States public is by far the largest army the earth has ever seen.
Exactly. Let's not hope that it comes to that, because here's the thing. Michael, what we talked about privately on our phone conversations, I'm talking about, I've got a 90-year-old woman here as my mother living with me. I'm 60, almost 65 years old. I have two weapons, which have the only reason they ever come out of the closet or the drawer is to go down to shoot and practice, okay? I have to dust them off. I pray every night they don't have to use it against another human being, but if they're going to come at me, babe, I have the God-given right, and even Jesus says, please take up your sword or two, because you're going to need it. And you are not supposed to just let somebody ramrod over you with an iron fist. This is not right, and if he didn't believe, if God didn't believe that, he
even
would not
God said there's a time to fight.
That he would not have helped George Washington do what he did. He would not have, and I think he did. So there's certain things.
You think he didn't
help
Samson?
Oh my gosh, and Moses.
You think he didn't help
David? Oh God, yes, and Noah, all of them. I mean,
I use Samson and David because these were two people who God used to kill the enemy.
They were told to. They were instructed by him to do so.
Oh, there's no way David could kill 10,000 with the jawbone of an ass without God.
Absolutely. And do you think that British army could have been defeated without the Lord? Oh, I can't even imagine. There's no way.
You guys need to watch this movie on Lifetime. And I can't remember, it's a Lifetime Choice movie. It's been running twice every week, two times a night every week.
What's it called?
I can't remember. Just look for the Lifetime Choice movie.
About the Jewish guy?
Yes.
That lost his family? Yes, I did.
That was a great movie.
It was absolutely inspirational. Absolutely. That was good. I saw it the other day. I can't remember what day it was. It was great. Thank you, Robert. That was absolutely great.
That was a great movie. That was a great story.
Oh, yeah. Michael, you would have loved that one, because this guy was a cantor, a Jewish cantor in New York, and it was inspirational. It was, like, so cool. I'm surprised. It was absolutely wonderful. It was great. So, Bill, I'm going to let you take it for 2 minutes. I'm going to go refill my glass. Go ahead.
All right. I understand, like, you know, the feeling that you don't need a gun, and I don't need a gun unless my family was threatened to be the only reason. I don't really hunt. My hunting is anymore. I have metal. I have food. I raise my own meat and stuff. So, you know, I don't have a need to hunt and kill animals just for pleasure or anything like that. Maybe once in a great while if I wanted a squirrel dumplings or something, but not very often would I ever kill an animal other than what I raise for meat. And it's the gun I have was my grandfather's gun. It was passed down through the family to me, and I will hang on to it. I have a few other guns. They have been guns that have been family members, this or that. But they're not, I didn't get the guns with the intent I was going to shoot somebody. We have
exactly.
a lot of people today that do that. But at the same time, if you know that you're going to have to defend your family, I would think it would be wrong to sit back and refuse to defend your family.
Well, I don't have the scripture in front of me handy, but I know in more than one place, I know in the book of Daniel and in the book of Revelation, it outright says that many, many, many Christians will be killed for their beliefs.
True.
When we near the end times.
Well,
okay.
No,
what good will a gun do me in reference to that?
Well,
if God already prophesies this, then what good shall a gun do me? If God prophesies that I'm going to be killed by Satan and his...
Well, then, Michael, why do you even draw a breath? Because it's prophesied you will die from the moment you're born. So why do you even waste your time drawing a breath, Michael?
Go ahead.
Repeat the question again. Why do I even breathe?
Yeah. Right, because it's prophesied from the very beginning. You will have life and you will have death. If you know you're going to die anyway, and you're saying that you can't defend yourself, so why even take a breath? Just go
because
ahead and pass on.
There are many scriptures that relate to that as well. And the scripture
there are
that
many scriptures that also tell you that there is a time to fight. those who lose their lives fighting for the name of God.
Can I ask a question here? Michael, what is God's position on suicide?
It is wrongful in the sight of God. Absolutely, 100%.
So if you're standing there and your children, you telling me that you wouldn't lift a gun to protect them?
I am saying that I put Christ first in my life.
I agree.
That was not the question I asked you. I ask you, would you lift a gun to defend your family?
You're talking about a human thing here, okay? We're on two different steps.
No.
Well, unfortunately, Michael, you're going to live the human thing. So tell
no,
me
no.
again.
I live here in a human form, okay?
Right.
But my spirit and my heart are with God.
So,
okay.
So
at all
go
times.
Ahead.
So if you go by your spirit and your heart, you will not lift a finger to defend your family.
I didn't say that 100%, did I?
No,
okay.
I'm asking. It's a question.
Here's the other question, Michael. If suicide is wrong, what do you call standing in front of somebody and not even trying to defend yourself with equal power? There's a thing about...
The will of God? The will of God?
The will of God is for you to commit suicide.
No, the will of God, God has allowed many people. Look at the people that died in 9/11 who jumped out of building windows, hundreds of stories up. God has allowed many people to die.
Right.
That is the will of God.
Oh, that is true. But those people that were jumping out those windows was because somewhere in them they had a hope that they was going to survive. They were terrified. They had a hope that somehow they would survive. they had a hope that somehow they were going to get out of this building or something, a miracle was going to happen or things. But you can't tell me they didn't have hope, Michael, because they had to have. But they didn't know how to react in the situation they were
right.
in, and there probably
right.
was no way to react that was going
maybe.
To change anything.
Yeah, it's true. And maybe Michael's right in the fact that those who did the window jumping maybe were not saved and didn't have the faith that they needed, and not
we,
many
well,
of
we,
us...
We'll, we don't know that.
Until we're faced with that, okay, but many do not. I mean, I can cite many people. We can go to the Ten Boom family. We can go to the Poland people. We can go to the Dietrich Bonhoeffers. I pray I have that kind of faith someday, because we're going to be faced with it. You know, we are going to be faced with that kind of faith, and the people... that Ron talks about that were the journalists and they crossed their fingers and denied Christ and went to Islam so they could save their lives. To me, that's not courage. That's cowardice. That's copping out. To me, that's copping out. They
well,
had a
I'm,
choice.
I'm curious, and I didn't come in here by any means. I hope you understand this.
No,
to,
right.
You know, disagree or argue or anything
no,
like that.
No,
that
no,
is
no,
not
no.
my intent at all, okay? You know... What was it that Ron said the United States was last night on his show? He said it was an idea. Was that it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
We were.
I would like to replace that word with the word principle. The United States of America is a principle formed together by a group of people.
Who had
okay.
an idea.
Okay. Who had an idea?
Yes.
Okay.
Moral,
who had
biblical.
God in the forefront
absolutely.
Of that idea
absolutely.
As well,
I know.
Unlike the Americans of today.
Well, they didn't use
well,
prayer,
now,
but they
well,
did
now, I want you to do some searching there when you say that. Who brought that religion here?
Christians.
The first Bible, what's it, North Carolina? Look the church up. Was at North Carolina. It's one of the first churches that was in this country. It was established by what I would call the Lutheran branch. And the Bible that they used was translated, printed, and published by Van Meter and Miles Coverdale. People brought that religion because people interpreted it to begin with. There was already facets of religion here that weren't as far away as you think when you get further out to the west and to the Navajos and those kinds of people, the Hopi. But religion was here before we brought it here. It was just not the same religions. Not everything was exactly alike. Not everything is even close. But we have that today in Christianity alone. How many different variations is there? So... of religion was a freedom people sought that they left Europe to come here for.
Right.
And now what we have is that very freedom being destroyed. That very religious texts and ideologies that were brought here are all being attacked and kicked to the side to further another religion, being Islam.
Well, you know, Islam is, I mean, I don't know how anyone can even think that Islam, you know, is, I mean, these people are like... And,
I understand what you're saying there because it's the only so-called religion that preaches kill.
Yeah.
Exactly. You took the words right out of my mouth, Bill. I mean, exactly.
Okay,
I mean, on the other hand... I mean, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, is God. I mean, the one word that stands for God is love.
It's true, absolutely. But, you know...
But along with love, you're always going to have the opposite, Michael. It's like yin and yang, negative and positive.
There's going to be hate, and there's going to be
evil. If there's love, there's going to be hate.
But, okay.
The only time there won't be is when you're in God's realm.
Yes, whether he comes back or you're taken up to him. Look, the Second Amendment was, I think that what we're missing here in this conversation is the hell that those guys went through, we're talking for many, many, many years under the king's realm on top of the colonies, and it took 40 years for people like Whitfield and other evangelistic people to have the second Great Awakening and then get these guys motivated, like Patrick Henry and the rest of them, to get out there and fight. And they can't go up against the British army or a tyrannical government without arms, because they tried to take their guns away, and that's what started the revolution. Because that, the shot was Lexington and Concord was what started it, with a shot that was heard around the world. They fired the first shot, and the I'm telling you, George told them, do not fire the first shot, and they didn't have to, and then the war was on, and the rest is history. I'm telling you, this was divinely inspired. If you don't think that crossing of the Delaware had anything to do with God, man, you are Helen Keller, because that was exactly what was going on.
Linda.
It would be great if every time that there was mass murdering going to go on, that God somehow, you know, was to intervene and stop these things. But you look at what went on with Germany, went on in China.
He's not ready yet.
Russia and all these other places. No, he is giving us the chance to get it right first.
Exactly.
The more I think about it, is when FDR made his famous quote, you have nothing to fear but fear itself. So to me, everybody's now is fearing the government. So,
well, they should. And it's got to be turned around. Because what Jefferson said is my favorite quote, when the people fear their government, there is tyranny, and when the government fears its people, there is liberty. And Justin
when you
Paul
started
Donovan,
putting more faith in your government than you did in God,
absolutely,
where you went wrong.
That's where we're at today.
People put more faith in this government than
they
do in God.
Lies. They believe the lies. That's why... there was a book, about a year ago that Glenn was talking about, and his name's Andy Andrews, and he said, the title of the book is How Do You Kill 11 Million People? And the short answer is you lie to them, and that's what Hitler did, and that's what Stalin did, and that's what everybody else did, and that's how they get their control, and they're evil. And we have to recognize them for what they are. Never give up your guns. I don't give a damn. And I'll tell you something else. There is no way anybody's going to come in here, rob me, hurt my mother, or rape me ever again without getting my shotgun in their face.
Just to lighten things up a bit here, I don't know if you guys covered this or not, but it was in the news today that the Federal Emergency Management that goes across your TV was hacked.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
I saw that this morning, Michael.
Yeah, and it's
zombies.
Yeah, it said dead people are rising from the graves and attacking the living. Please do not attempt to apprehend these because they are very dangerous.
Oh my God!
It said that. It's on. You can find it on YouTube if you go on to YouTube and type it in.
I saw it at 6 o'clock this morning on the news, on Fox News. Yeah. It was on there at 6 o'clock this morning, and I was like, "What in the heck?"
Yeah, it was all over. The great security that we have in the United States after all of the trillions of dollars we have spent on, you know, security and military and homeland defense, and you know, it's like this is what we end up with. Is this?
I know.
I had a friend that was called to a business. The guy had a computer problem, and the guy told him he was hacked. He says, how? I've got all this security. He says, I'm not supposed to be hackable. And the guy busted out laughing. And he told him, he said, there is no such thing, has never existed, computer that's unhackable.
Firewall. Yep. That's true. Oh, yeah. There's professionals who have done prison time for hacking in. I mean, come on. Let's face it.
Well, here in Indiana, who do you think does the state budget, writes out the state checks and stuff? It's inmates that do it.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Oh yeah. From RDC. From RDC.
Lovely.
Give me a second and I'll tell you what they're called. But yeah, these inmates, they're computer whizzes working data processing at IYC. They're the ones who bail out and do the state payroll.
That's funny. Oh, my God. It's amazing. But I will tell you, Michael, I was very pleased with the Ecclesiastics audio that I heard. And there's several people who are touting on Facebook Dr. Jeremiah. And it's really, really taking root. So I have done many. In fact, tomorrow I'm going to be reading from the Bible, of course, on my show. And I just reconnected with a cousin of mine that I did not have contact with since I was about 16 years old. And it was like an amazing miracle. But I did not get a chance today on the phone to ask her if she's spiritually filled or anything like that. So, and when I see her in person, hopefully my cousin Lori, who's a Bible thumping Christian like me, will be able to spread the word of the Lord to her, because that would be a blessing. At least get, you know, at least get her interested in understanding why we have the lives we have, why we've done so well, and why we've done. This woman, the cousin who's 2 years younger than me, kind of dropped off the face of the earth because she was a heroin addict and had a horrible life, and now she's 15 years clean and sober. And I don't know, I didn't get a chance to ask her how she came to this revelation, but I would love to meet her in person. She's in Phoenix, and I'd love to see her again and have a good confab, because I could take about 6 hours.
Linda, I wanted to tell you just one thing real quick here about the book of Ecclesiastes.
Yes.
Okay. And that is, it may be the hardest book in
yes.
the Bible to understand.
Yes.
The
yes.
reason for that being is that it is first of all, it is written by Solomon, who
yes.
it was or the richest and the wisest person yes. on earth. But every time in the book of Ecclesiastes that you see the words under the sun,
right.
Every time you see that, he is talking about life. What that means is life without God, man
right.
living his life here on
right.
earth,
right?
And you leaving God out of the equation,
out of
and man
yeah.
trying to solve man's problems. And it's a great book because it shows that this is the wisest man on the earth, and that he comes to the conclusion that, you know, man cannot solve
right.
man's problems as long as they have tried, you know. And in the final chapters of Ecclesiastes, he finally, you know, comes to that conclusion in his
right.
old age.
And what made sense about it when Dr. Jeremiah said that, why do we keep trying to do the things that only should be left to God? And it was amazing, and that was what I got out of it, which was very profound, that we should just... Okay, we can go to our city councils and we can do this, and we can help our parents and we can do this, and we can, you know, we can micromanage our own lives. But when it comes to the evil ones, sometimes we just got to pray on it and let God take it. Let him take it. Let him do it. Don't worry about what he's doing. He's on the throne. That's what I got out of that message.
Well,
it was amazing.
You know, but, you know, there we are. We're right back to the point that when God needed a warrior, he sent Samson. He sent David. You know, when God needs a warrior, he sends one.
Yep.
And usually, and I've always noticed this, Michael, he only has to send one.
Yep. Absolutely. Moses, same thing.
Yeah, he only has to send one.
Noah, same thing.
There are many angels that God has that you'll never know
never see.
Where
yep.
or when they are. You'll never see them. Most
yep.
people don't even think about them, even
right.
when they pray to God. They don't even think about them. But there
right.
are angels that are out there constantly
yes.
doing God's work and looking
they
after
are.
God's people.
They are. I know. I've seen that happen, Michael, in my own life and people that I love's lives, because I was a caretaker for people on their deathbeds, and
mm-hmm.
and one of the people was my brother-in-law's mother, and I was her caretaker in conjunction with hospice as she was going to her transition. And I'm telling you, that woman, she was watching those angels up on her ceiling on her deathbed, and she actually saw her brother come to her in many forms. I'm telling you, this woman, and I could tell when she was either hallucinating from her brain tumor or not. It was very clear to me. It was like, inspired by God. I'm telling you, it was amazing. She was so close to the other side that I had a glimpse in through her. It was like amazing, and we helped each other with that. It was amazing to see, because yes, you are right. The angels do exist. They're a different breed. They're not, you know, we're flesh. He's God. He's got his cherubs. He's got all these, you know, it's a whole different deal, because he's omnipotent. I don't know. He's the I am.
Omniscient.
Yeah. He's perfect. He's perfect. You know, I could never walk on water unless I'm mopping the kitchen floor tomorrow. There's no way. I mean, you know, so.
Well, I could if it was frozen.
Yeah. Well, yeah, exactly.
I say that because I had a minister one time giving this story about testing his faith, and he was going to walk on water. At the end, he ended up telling us that the water was frozen.
Or if you have the authority, you must keep your eye on God, like Peter didn't, and he sank. And that's a great lesson. I love that chapter. Because,
well, aren't we there in the world?
Yeah.
We're not keeping our eye on God, and we're sinking.
Oh, my God. You know, I posted a thing on Facebook that my niece gave me, who's not really spiritual at this point. I mean, she's really cool, and she loves her family and everything, but I don't know where she is in God. But she this is funny. She's putting this stuff out to Facebook, and then she's, you know, it's one of these websites. And I logged in, and I started talking through Facebook, and I made a blog post. And it took about 5 days to get a response, and somebody out of the blue who was looking at this website said, I agree. Thank you. God bless you. And I talked about, because they were talking about, you know, putting family first. You know, they weren't talking so much about God, but they were talking a little bit about material things. And I just went off on John Locke and the founding. I did it in like two paragraphs, and this woman got it. And it was the only reaction. I had no negatives and no other positives, but I got one positive, and it was amazing. It was like, wow, I think I made a difference in somebody's life or connected with somebody. It was fabulous.
Now, I love that old saying, you know, you can't take it with you, and the next best one to that would be, you don't see hearses pulling trailers.
Yeah.
No, you don't.
Michael, that's funny that you said that, because that was part of my blog. I said, how much of this material wealth are you allowed to take with you when you go to the other side? And I go, the answer is zero. And she loved it. She apparently loved it.
My mother used to say, Linda,
what?
The only two things I have to do in life, that's die and pay taxes.
You have to eat to live, and you have to crap so your belly don't bust.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, you would have loved Michael from the Hot Seat show. Cause did you guys hear about, I can't remember, I got to go research it, but I think it was in England or one of those dumbass, you know, socialist countries way back in history, that the people who were the rulers and these elitist, globalist, nonsense people, Fabian socialist, you know, philosopher king nonsense people, actually went to their doctors and had themselves cut down so that they could have colostomy bags because they thought they were too good to go to the bathroom and had their servants change their bags. Isn't that special? So I should ask Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid and Obama, who changes your bags, you stupid schmucks? That's what I think of those people. That's what I think of those.
Linda, did you hear about that? You remember the Galveston plant that they were talking about?
The who?
We remember that on the show, on Mike's show, the Galveston plant?
No. Go ahead.
It exploded last Sunday, this past Sunday. The same,
wow.
The same one. I just happened to, you know, it was just ironic that I heard it on Mike's show, and it exploded.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I could barely hear him. We had a very bad situation. They had the huge blizzard. And when he goes back and listens to his show again, he's going to be like, you know, shooting himself in the head because it was horrible. He had such high winds and such craziness going on that you came in clear. All his embedded stuff came in clear. I came in clear. We couldn't understand him to save our souls. the poor thing. He went the whole 2 hours. I got to give him, if it was me, I'd have shut it down in about 20 minutes. But I got to give him kudos because he did a great job. If you guys ever want to hang in with Mike in the hot seat, he's on BTR Saturday night, 9 p.m. Eastern. I know it's, some people are already asleep, but that, oh, we have, and sometimes Ron comes in there, but I know he's been dealing with family, and I think he might miss my show tomorrow because he's going to go speak on a community forum about Second Amendment rights. So I say more power to you, Ron. Miss my show. Give us the feedback. Go do it. Go tell it on the mountain and go for it, man. Somebody's got to talk the talk. I'm going a week from tomorrow. I have to, like, shut down my show after an hour and go to Carlsbad and start screaming about Agenda 21. Believe me, I'll be there. Oh, I will speak. I will speak. Because I ain't playing no more. I've been to several meetings, and we have to do it. Bill, you know what I do. I go to every city council from Escondido to, if I have to go all the way to Del Mar or Chula Vista, I don't care. I'm going. I'm not playing these guys anymore. I'm not playing games. I'm going to fight Agenda 21.
But what is it going to gain you, Linda, though? That's the thing is, that's what I don't understand.
I'm trying
what
to wait
will it gain you?
Well,
will
Michael,
you win?
Just,
will you win
just,
in the end?
Michael, it's just like you fighting against the devil.
Yeah, I have to say, I have, look.
If you don't fight against the devil, Michael, you know, that's what you're doing when you're fighting against all this stuff. You're fighting against the devil.
These are globalists, man. Maurice Strong, they're globalists. Ted Turner, oh my God.
What do you think Satan hates worse, okay? Me going and telling people about an Agenda 21 meeting, or me taking an hour out of my day and praying all day long and worshiping and praising my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Which one do you think irritates Satan worse?
Oh,
I think,
the praying does. But Michael, at the same time, you're being indifferent.
Both of them. Look, anytime you get up and speak the truth in public and you start exposing Satan for who he is, he ain't happy. I don't care if I have to do it in Carlsbad City Council Chamber or on the radio or reading my Bible. And I can read my Bible. It does. What good is the Bible going to do me if I don't go out there and preach the truth about this evil? Look. I'm going to do it from Escondido to Chula. I don't care. I'm going to do it every single day. I have to fight against tyrannical governments, just like Thomas Paine and Patrick Henry did back in the day. If we sit idly by, then they're going to take us. They're going to do it. I'm not standing for it. I don't care. I will take up arms. I don't care. No. Nobody's coming and breaching my house. No way. I don't care. And I pray every day that I don't have to shoot a human being. But, man, if they're going to threaten my life, honey, they're going to at least go to the hospital or shit their pants out of my house.
You're going to come across in the book of Ecclesiastes, Linda, where Solomon was not allowed to build the temple of God because he shed blood. Exact words. Because he shed blood.
Explain Samson.
Not...
Come on,
I don't
explain Samson. Samson killed 10,000 with the jawbone of an ass. God was how he did it. David killed Goliath, but David killed more people than Samson did.
Look, when he said thou shalt not murder, that's talking about willful, capital, going out, premeditated craziness. When he talks about self-defense, even Jesus said, if you do not have a sword, take one up with you. You're going to need it. Even Jesus said that to his disciples and others. So I got to say, this right to self-defense is a life-giving, God-giving thing. He said,
can the sword mean the word of God?
Oh, my God. If you believe, Michael?
You stand there and you watch your family get slaughtered. I won't do it.
No, I won't either. Look, there's there's a just war theory, which is Christianity, which is biblically based. There's self-defense, standing, you know, in front of a train and letting them run you down like Stalin or some gangbanger. That's suicide.
We're in this problem. You admitted it. Both of you have. Because America has thrown God away. So why are we not,
Michael,
putting God first?
You keep trying to act like God never sent a warrior. He did. It's a bald-faced lie to act like he didn't.
I never said he didn't.
He has sent many warriors. For you to stand there when injustice is going on, when something is wrong, watching someone get murdered, you're an accomplice. If you make no attempt to stop it, you're an accomplice.
Yeah, there's you got to stand up for righteousness. Look, okay, we're going to come up against the clock. And Bill, thank you so much. Michael, I love you in Christ. I agree with you on many things. The reason for the Second Amendment is far beyond hunting, self-sustaining, self-defense. It is to keep us not slaves. It is to go, those guys went through hell for over probably 45 years before they took up arms. And the friggin' British were saying, oh, we're going to take your arms now, and then we're just going to overrule you, and these colonies will be ours forever. And they said, no, thank you. And Patrick Henry says, who do you think those bullets are for, guys? You better get a clue. I'm glad they did what they did. And I do believe it was divinely inspired, and that's my take on it. Thank you so much. We got 3 minutes and 30 seconds left. And Robert, I'm going to go to you first, and then Michael, second, please. What would you say, sir?
Keep the faith. That's all we could do.
And you go.
I'm going to watch his speech.
Okay. Yeah, I'm gonna get my air sick bag that's about 5 gallons and watch it. And listen, Robert, you go to your local sheriff or somebody and you get trained.
I will. I promise.
Okay, thank you, sir. And Michael Magic, my brother in Christ, and you know I love you. Oh my God, but I sometimes disagree with you on certain things. That's okay.
You know, I don't like taking one Bible verse, because there are so many that relate to it, okay? When you take one Bible verse out of the Bible and you just state that, like an eye for an eye, the Bible says an eye for an eye. It's before that, it says, Anyway, it's taking it out of context when you say this or that. Unless you are ready to, you know, go and do, you know, a whole, you know, a half hour or an hour on, you know, and talk and discuss all certain scriptures that relate to an individual topic, then we have a foundation on which to go. Everybody, you know, many blessings to you, and keep Christ first in your life, because he is the ultimate warrior. Amen, everybody. God bless. Thank you for allowing me in to talk.
And Mr. Bill?
Well, one thing I have to agree with Michael in, I have a gun. I pray that I never have to use it.
That's right. Me too. But I will.
If forced to, I will. It's the only way, you know, I know. I really want to take a few minutes, this last minute here, and say I'm grateful to everybody who tunes in every Tuesday night or on all our shows during the week and stuff. I am grateful and appreciated for all of you who have been here and continue to be here and be involved. I pray for you all every night. I pray for our group. I pray for all the other groups out there.
I do too.
And I would love to see a great coming together and everyone getting along. But it's never happened, and it never will.
Yep.
And not until we get to that eternal ground.
Got it.
And I just want to tell everybody, keep praying. Keep your faith, and let's all pray that in the end, we don't have to fire any shots.
I know. Thank you, Bill. God bless you. God bless you, Robert. You go to that gun range and you find out the deal. I'm going to get us out with a little bit of Patriots, so I'm taking it. Bill, I'll see you tomorrow on my show, hopefully. Don't know if Ron's going to be there because he's going to be speaking, and I praise him for that. I'll email him. And it's been a great show. God bless you, Doc. Everybody, Rod. Everybody, thank you so much.
Quantity and no quality will be disciplined.